Strangers in the night.
Hour three kicking off here in the Fan Run Studios. Tweeter writes in saying that this game was probably the easiest solution and points out that Virginia also had a game against BYU canceled in 2023. So I guess that makes sense as to why Virginia is the opponent.
That does make sense.
I was reading through the article on Rivals here. It says a portion of the ticket sales will go to BYU in order for Tennessee to meet contractual obligations and buy its way out of the game.
Okay. Yeah.
How does that make sense if BYU's the one that won?
Because they probably had a certain number of like ticket sales that they wanted like in the original contract or tickets that they wanted. So
yeah, I feel like if BYU's the team that wanted out here, then
to me, I would say it's most likely because of BYU already fulfilling their duties of coming to Knoxville.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's fair, yeah.
Like, there's probably some expectation of a kickback. And I don't know, like, if Tennessee's the one that initiated this or if BYU's the one that initiated it or if they just looked around and said, hey, it's mutually as cool with us. I don't know. But, you know, if you're Tennessee, you obviously didn't fight this very hard and BYU didn't fight you very hard on it because it wasn't like, hey, you owe us $1 million for violating this contract. It was more just like, yeah, give us a portion of the ticket sales. And I don't know, Cam, do you see a number? Or is it just
I didn't see a number, no. I just saw, yeah, the same thing that Charlie saw, kind of with just, yeah, a portion of the ticket sales going to them.
Okay.
And that the game is reffed by SEC officials.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I haven't seen very much of a meltdown from people. You know, doesn't seem like anyone's really too upset with it.
I think it was one of those games that people liked the idea of going out to, but a lot of them probably actually wouldn't have followed through with it. So maybe, you know, people are like, saves me some money from going to Provo. I don't know.
Do you think this has any – do you think, like, we should expect Texas and Oklahoma in 2023?
I do still think that's going to happen. I think they're going to end up buying their way out of that conference.
The year after this year, you think they're in there? I don't think it's going to happen that quickly.
Because, I mean, that's when all these other schools are joining it. I don't think they're going to want to. I think Texas and Oklahoma would get really screwed schedule-wise if they're sitting there still in 2023. I think the Big 12 is going to make them go to all, like, the absurd road trips to these new additions and stuff like that. And I think they're going to not want to play with that. I don't think Texas and Oklahoma are going to.
It's not too dissimilar, Cam, from bear with me here. It's not too dissimilar from like professional wrestling. What I mean by that is like when you know a wrestler is leaving the company to go to your rival, you take them off TV, you embarrass them a little bit. One of the worst things that could ever happen is, you know, kind of what happened back in the day in wrestling when there were, you know, the Nitro Raw Wars were happening and like one of the women's champion left WWF with the championship belt, went on the opposing show and threw that championship belt in the trash. Like it embarrassed like the other company, like, you know, now I'm at the big place, I'm dropping it in the trash. And that led to the Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Montreal Screwjob, where he was getting ready to leave. So, you know, they actually changed the end of the scripted ending and, like, screwed him over and, you know, made sure he lost so that he didn't leave and go throw the belt in the trash, you know, the next night, too. So what I'm getting at is if I'm the Big 12 and we're having our expansion, the last thing I want to have happen is for either Oklahoma or Texas to kick our ass in 2023 and 2024, win the conference, and then leave to go to the big place.
Yeah.
That doesn't help you if you're the Big 12. You would rather take them off TV, if you will, and just say, go ahead and go, rather than give them the satisfaction of beating your ass and then leaving. I mean, we see this with the small conferences, right? Like, wasn't there a conference? What was the team, Charlie, earlier this year that the conference was basically like, you can't play in our championship game because you're
that
leaving?
That happened to James Madison. That also happened to Illinois-Chicago.
Okay.
And it happened in one other conference.
Was that in basketball or football?
Basketball and football and all sports. And then
backlash
from each time forced conferences to like go back on that.
But it was essentially like, we don't want you to win our championship and then leave because that makes us look even smaller. Like if our defending champion dips. So like I would imagine that, like, Texas and Oklahoma get ushered out by 2023 if the money's right.
Like, I think they're doing everything they can to get out behind the scenes right now. Because, and, yeah.
And if I'm the Big 12, like, I just want to go ahead. We got our teams in place. We talked about the story about how, you know, they're trying to get the other conferences that are leaving, the teams from other conferences, like not BYU, obviously not another conference, but they're coming in 2023. They're trying to get, you know, Houston ready to go in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm betting right now, I would say that Texas and Oklahoma are in the SEC by 2023.
Yeah.
I would also say that Tennessee probably buys out of the UConn game in favor of the in favor of a 10-game.
UConn's program will go away, and then he won't even have to worry about it.
Well, maybe. If I'm a UConn, I'm hanging on for one last check.
Yeah.
But, like, you could easily cancel the UConn game to then set up a 9-game SEC schedule if you have an extra, you know, two extra teams in there. So, like, then that non-conference schedule looks a little bit different whenever you're like, okay, it's neutral site Virginia, Austin Peay, UTSA, and then Power 5 school.
Yeah.
SEC school. Looks a little bit
different. I think that's what's going to happen. I think that's how I would lay it out going down.
Yeah.
I still feel like if they're coming in 2023, there's got to be, like, more to the talk of how they're setting up conferences already, right? Like, I feel like we would have heard
more.
I'm
sure that's going on behind the scenes. I think all this stuff is in motion, just we don't see it because nothing's, like, heading down that path officially yet.
Well, my response to you, Charlie, would just be like, I would say it's a lot like when they announced they were coming to the SEC. Like, we didn't know it until, like, 2 days before. Then I was like, wait a second, this is actually going to happen. Like, but they're like, they had said the ball had been rolling behind the scenes for, like, a year.
They got so people for this. Coming to the SEC.
I don't like it either.
I just want college football to
Be like it was.
Yeah.
Just kick A&M and Missouri out while we're at it. Honestly, we don't really need them.
Still like super conferences.
You do or don't?
Don't.
Okay, yeah. Which, I guess it's all money. But, you know, at the time of the announcement, like, people thought, like, this could happen as early as, like, this upcoming year, that they could do one more year in the Big 12 and be gone. So, kind of splitting the difference and doing 2 years seems to be the most likely.
Plenty of time.
You think they already know what they're going to do conference-wise then?
I'm sure they have an idea, yeah.
The report came out this weekend that the idea of pods is not probably going to happen, like, with the SEC. They think it's just going to be a situation where you do get the three permanent rivals and then a rotating cast of schools, but, like, you're not going to do, like, the 14 pods and then, like, have, you know, basically a Final Four and a semifinal game and a conference championship or whatever that would be to determine who the SEC champion, you know, participants would be.
So the report was that they would do the three rotating or the nine rotating or the three permanent rivals and then the six rotating games.
Say that one more time.
Three permanent rivals.
Yeah.
Six games that rotate.
Yeah. That was a report over the weekend.
Divisions still though, or
yeah, I don't know if it would be just like get rid of divisions like the ACC is.
Because you couldn't have divisions if you're doing that. Because how are you going to settle tiebreakers when you have teams that didn't play each other?
I would imagine. Well, I mean, that's kind of the way we're doing it already, where we don't have teams that play each other. But there would be more.
I'm saying not, we don't do that within divisions though.
Right, not in divisions. You're right. Sorry. I would think that we get rid of divisions and do that. Would be the most likely, like the ACC is doing, because also, like, you're obviously gonna have to rebalance the divisions when Texas and Oklahoma come in, anyways, right? Like, you can't just put Texas in one and Oklahoma in the other, because then you'd have East teams having to travel all the way to Oklahoma. It just wouldn't make any geographical sense either.
Yeah.
Which obviously we know we kind of lost the plot there with Missouri being in the East, but still. We do have a couple headlines to get to, I guess. The Celtics say that Marcus Smart suffered a mid-foot sprain in Game 7 against the Bucks.
Not the middle.
And is questionable for Game 1 against the Heat. So there's some good news for you, Chuckles.
Well, yeah.
He said the imaging came back clean, so he has a chance to be there.
I feel like he'll play.
You would think so.
I don't know. It might be one of those things where you just take one game and let him rest up and hopefully be healthy by Game 2. Maybe you don't want to rush it. I don't know. All right. Mark your calendars. Nissan Stadium tweets it out September 2nd. 2023. That's the date.
Be there or don't.
Or watch it on TV. You going to go, Charlie?
To Nashville.
Nissan Stadium, yeah. September 2nd, 2023. Tennessee versus Virginia.
Yeah, of course.
I would say that I will not be there.
You're not going to go?
I don't think so.
Why not?
Not going either.
I've seen Nissan plenty of
times. Yeah, Stadium, but I mean, it's just a fun weekend in Nashville.
I know, but also, I mean, I guess it makes sense because the field will be like September 2nd. It's before the NFL starts. So, like, I'll probably have to go back to the next weekend for the Titans home opener. So, I'm good. I'm just going to probably skip that one.
Yeah, I'm out.
Unless we're like a top 10 team preseason.
Going to Nashville every year for every weekend is just fun.
It's a little tiring for me to go every weekend.
We'll see. Like,
once was enough for me.
I mean, I go probably like.
Yeah, but you just go stay at your family's house.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying, like, you don't have to, like, go to Nashville every weekend and also, like, go to Nashville where you're just belligerent at 3 a.m. on Broadway because you feel the pressure of being
in
Nashville.
We don't live there.
Yeah, but it's not like I can go sit with my parents there either.
No, but we got, like, 4 empty bedrooms. You're welcome anytime.
Okay. Thank you. Even when you're not there?
Yeah.
Mom put me up?
Actually, I'm pretty, like, fairly confident they would, yeah.
Shout out to Mama Collier. Yeah.
So you're coming.
You know, like I said, if we're preseason top 10, or, I mean, I guess this could be the debut of Nico.
Yeah.
What are the chances right now, you think, Charlie, that this is Nico's first game?
You got to feel like it's... Like 70%.
Is this Hooker's last year of eligibility?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like a 6-year right
nowadays, but
yeah. No, this is his last one.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think, 70-ish%. I give Taven Jackson like a 25%. 5% goes to other.
As in Joe Milton.
As in, like, what if like a really random transfer emerges? It's like, hey, what if someone is really, really good and then is like, and now I want to go to Tennessee? Then I guess like that could happen. I don't know, 5% to other, maybe Joe Milton. I don't know. Who cares? But I would say probably 70% just because, A, he should be really good. From everything I've watched, I find him to be really good. I think he's the kind of guy that can play early. I think he'll have the expectation to play early. And whether you want to say it or not, there's also a lot of pressure to play him early, because if you don't, well, you could just give a guy a lot of money for nothing. Because if Taven Jackson is starting week one, I feel like Nico would probably be a little upset. If Taven Jackson is starting week 12, I feel like Nico might not be a Vol anymore.
Yeah, I don't want to get into that quarterback discussion already, but something ain't sitting right that his first start would be at Nissan Stadium, but I guess it could be cool. What if it was Nico versus Arch Manning?
That would be wild, actually. That would be a pretty hot ticket, I feel like, at that point.
Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Trey Wallace, friend of the program, friend of the station, says that the Vols will pay a buyout to BYU with the first $2 million in ticket revenue from the game going to the Cougars.
Oof.
What?
How much?
$2 million.
Like, do you have any? Is that a substantial portion, I imagine?
I mean, I don't know exactly what the.
How much revenue comes in?
Right, but
I'm
like.
I'm sure you can find. What was the last one?
Bowling I'm just going to guess.
The last one in Nashville?
I'm just going to guess that, like, this is going to be $80 a ticket at the very least, right?
So $69,000.
Times 69,000 was the math I was going to do. And it says like 5.5 million if you sell them at $80 a piece. But we know it's going to be more than that, right? Like it's going to be $125 at least for most of the tickets. Like I'd say most lower level tickets are going to be at least $125. I'd say there'd be suites and clubs and all that that's going to be in the thousands. So like I'll just say like there's going to generate probably what, $7 million?
So, yeah, I was thinking somewhere between 6 to 8. So yeah.
We'll just call it 7.
We'll call it 7.
And I don't know if Virginia is getting an even cut on this. And like you're just taking your $3.5 million.
I feel like Virginia probably gets.
I wouldn't think Virginia's getting
like,
full.
Yeah, like
even
a,
cut,
a,
but who knows?
A percentage under half. Maybe they get like 35%.
Danny White's on the move says that pivoting to play a marquee non-conference opponent in Nashville made sense for multiple reasons. This is a more accessible game for our fan base. I expect that we will have a much larger contingent of fans in Nashville than would have been able to travel to Utah.
You think?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, well, no, I do know that. Like, there'll be more fans in Nashville than there would have been in Utah.
Well, yeah, I was saying that sarcastically.
Oh, okay.
Well, obviously, Danny.
Sorry. I thought you were actually asking. I was like, well, yeah, I would think so. Our fans have also heard me talk about the importance of finding new revenue to grow our operating budget, and playing Virginia at Nissan Stadium is an opportunity for a net positive revenue game. I appreciate Virginia's AD and the Nashville Sports Council for working with us to make this an attractive matchup happen, which I don't know if I'd call it attractive, but whatever. The Cougars will only have to play Arkansas and the Vols. We'll get to host a game in Nashville to open the season. This move is big for Josh Heupel. Okay, let's see. Blah, blah, blah. First time they've played since the 1990s Sugar Bowl. According to the contract, writes Trey Wallace, the first $2 million in ticket sales will go to BYU in accordance to the buyout Tennessee will be paying. The SEC will retain television rights to the game according to the agreement. Okay.
I mean, I guess it's not a big deal, but it maybe makes you think that maybe we didn't. We were the ones that wanted out after all?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, it seems that way, which I, you know, we knew something was going to happen with BYU's schedule just because I didn't think they were just going to play, you know, two SEC schools and then go to the Big 12. But I guess if you're Tennessee, you maybe look at this as Danny White said, a net positive.
Yeah.
Because let's just say you paid $2 million in ticket sales to BYU, you're still going to be left with, at worst, your cut of, you know, the remaining $5 million at worst. And if it's 50-50, like that's, you know, $2.5 million. So you can come out maybe a couple $100,000 up after travel expenses. And also, I think there's benefit of being in your state, obviously, for your team's winning ability and for your team's marketability.
I mean, there's even the advantage of recruiting the mid-state and getting that game there.
And I'll also say, like, I don't know, do you think this would be connected at all, Charlie? But I do know, I actually have a friend who works at Spire Sports. Went to school together. He's from Athens in a fantasy football league. He tweeted out today that he has headed to Nashville to look for more NIL opportunities. So he's going, I guess, you know, on the road to try to do some sales for Spire.
Yeah, maybe they can have one of their big Spire tailgates at the game. I imagine they would.
I mean, I wonder, like, if that's important just in the new day of NIL. Like, you go there and you're recruiting Nashville companies and you can point to now, hey, in 2023, this game's going to be here and visibility, and I'm sure
you can point to a nice corporate marketing like opportunity where you get them in the suite and you get them the nice tailgate and you wine and dine these companies and you get more money to load the money cannon.
And then Friday night, hey, we'll have these quarterbacks here in doing your events leading up to the game. We'll have all these players here at your events because you pay them to represent you. That's what happens when you come with us. And then we lose on Saturday and everyone's like, well, if this player wasn't at this damn event before, this wouldn't happen.
We just didn't make Nico go to 7 different events on Friday. He had to travel a day early.
Well.
Spoke at 4 company parties.
I do wonder, like, how that will happen, you know, for athletes. Like, will they have to do those type of events?
How do you fit that into your schedule as a student athlete, you know?
8 years since Tennessee's played a non-bowl game inside Nissan Stadium.
It's been that long since we played Bowling Green?
By the time you play this game, I mean, by the time you open the 2023 season, because that was 2015, so it'll be 8 years by then.
Say, yeah, jeez. My senior year of high school.
Yeah. No,
longer, but either way, wow.
Yeah.
I like having the game in Nashville. Like, I know there are a lot of people in Middle Tennessee that feel the same way. I know in Knoxville we think, oh, Nashville, ugh, again. But in Middle Tennessee, like, there are a lot of people that are celebrating right now that are having a really good day. Like, I know growing up, I never really got to go make the trip to Knoxville for games. Like, that was just not something we ever did. I went to one every couple years maybe.
Really?
Yeah. So, I got to Knoxville, like, that was the first time I was really getting to go to games.
It's actually surprising to me.
So, when like we when we played UNC there at Nissan Stadium. When we played Wyoming, not for me, but like for my family. Like when we played, I was too young for the Wyoming game, but like when we played Bowling Green, that was something that we were really excited about, that you look forward to, that you circled and talked about for a long time. Like, hey, I get to see the Vols play. I get to see them play in person. I get to go to Nissan Stadium and, you know, there's my favorite team. I don't have to watch them on TV. I think there are a lot of people the same way, that it's a hassle to get to Knoxville. I mean, hotel rooms are really expensive if you want to go to Knoxville for games from Middle Tennessee.
And to be fair, one of the things that has been a topic of conversation in the last couple of years is the changing game one to a Thursday night. And what's always the talking point, that West Tennessee and Middle Tennessee get screwed.
Right.
That's what a lot of fans have been saying, right? Like, hey, you know, I can't make the day trip on Thursday. We got to work. I can't take Friday off and Thursday off. I can't come all the way from Memphis. I can't make it from Nashville in time. So, you know, this is a little bit of a bone to them, I would say. Now, I don't know if they'll get, you know, they're obviously not going to get priority on tickets. So, like, I don't know if it'll help them getting into the game. But
yeah,
getting into the game day atmosphere of tailgating and stuff, it's an easier drive to Nashville than it is, you know, to Knoxville if you're in the mid-state or Memphis, obviously. I don't know if that goes into any of this, but
at least that's one of the... they were deciding factors by any means, but I imagine that some of these things that we've discussed were also brought up as, hey, that helps too. That's nice too.
Yeah. So Trey Wallace has gotten back to me and says that there will be a $1.5 million split, 50-50, for Tennessee and Virginia. So, you know, let's just put the number, let's keep it there at $7 or $7 million.
Mm-hmm.
So you split 1.5 with Virginia, and then, you know, you give your $2 million to BYU, and then it says Tennessee gets 80% of the remaining ticket revenue.
So 7 minus 1.5 minus 2 is 3.5 times 0.8.
Yeah.
You get 2.8 million.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, again, those numbers are all approximate, but – or not all approximate, but the actual, like, total revenue
price,
and stuff. Yeah,
yeah,
we're just kind of making that up, the $7 million, but I do think it'd be
– I think
at the very least, like, 6. I mean, at the very least. Like, you're going to clear probably $1 million in this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess that's going to be a win.
Which, like, how much do you get from, like, going to BYU?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you get much of anything?
I don't know how that works when it's home and homes, like if you're even getting paid.
No, I feel like we would have just pocketed the stuff from the first game, and then they would have got the next one.
Right, which that's why you owe the $2
million. Yeah.
Appreciate Trey for those numbers. Follow him at Twitter, Trey Wallace _. Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Cam, hit the music.
Winners and losers, winners and losers, winners and losers, winners and losers.
Cam, who won this weekend?
All right, my number three winner of the weekend is Johanna Mazabuco.
Okay.
She is believed to be the oldest person in the world. She just had 128th birthday.
Oh, my God.
So she's still rocking and rolling.
I can't imagine that. That's, if you think about that, that's two full lifetimes. Like, most people probably live to be like 65, 70.
Yeah.
I mean, if you live to be 65, I mean, 65 times two, Charlie is?
170.
170, so not quite there. It's actually
130.
Yes. But, you know, that's two lives. 128 is basically 130. Mm-hmm. That's two full lifetimes.
Yeah, that's a lot of living.
That's too much. That's too much. Take me out back and put me down.
Mm-hmm. Apparently she still, like, gets around and stuff a little bit, and, you know, on her own, and likes to just sit out the window and people watch and reminisce on the past. Which I guess that's all you can really do at that point. Just think about the old days.
Yeah. Sometimes it'd be like that.
That can't be real. I think this has got to be a lie.
But she's 128?
Yeah.
No, she has, like, official doc. It's usually tough to, like, verify some of those people, but she's got, like, an actual, like, the papers.
I'm sure you can just look at her and be like, you know what? You're 128.
Confirmed.
Actually, she makes me think I'm going to hit it's 128, though. She says it's a lot of milk.
Everyone always has their different reasons.
One
woman was like, I drink a lot of Dr. Pepper.
I feel like I've heard a lot of people say milk, And I've heard a lot of people say bourbon, and those are my two favorite drinks. So I think I'm going
to live. She eats a lot of spinach or something, too, I read, or something like that. Spinach. Or used to.
Wild spinach.
Yeah. Have you eaten any wild spinach?
I eat spinach, yeah.
Is it wild, spinach. Or is it domesticated?
I think
That's where you could be going wrong. Get your spinach checked.
Get your spinach checked. Who are you want to talk about spinach? Shut up, Cam. You don't
When's
even
the last
eat anything
time you've
green.
Eaten a vegetable?
Childhood?
Maybe that's your play. Well, maybe that's your play in Baton Rouge, is we can eat some vegetables and then throw them up.
Yeah, that would work. That would get me to throw up.
You think you would throw them up if you had a
vegetable? Oh, yeah, they make me gag. It's pretty cool. Especially
like
broccoli.
If I gave you a carrot.
If you gave me like broccoli, I don't know, I'd probably do a carrot. But broccoli, that triggers my gag reflex.
Wait, I've seen you eat carrots before.
When have you seen me eat carrot?
With the hibachi, the sweet ones.
I didn't eat it. Oh. Remember, I was mad because they gave me vegetables instead of rice.
Never mind.
I was flustered. That was the worst thing that could have happened to the hibachi order. I was so angry. Jeez.
I'm just so baffled that she's 128.
Yeah, she's old. But she's still going. She's trying to set records, you know?
Was that your number three?
Yep, that was
Can
my number three.
With your list?
My number two.
You don't have all day.
My number two winner of the weekend was the men's track team. Got third in the SEC Championships this past weekend, which is extremely hard to do. It's tough to be a top five SEC team because a lot of these programs just have a lot of athletes. Usually do better at the Nationals than you do in the SEC meet, to be honest, just because it's just the way track works for some reason. You can have like unlimited entries in the SEC. So some of these teams will just load up on people. But third, really hard to do. I think it's been since like 08 or something that we finished that high in the SECs. Had three SEC champions on the men's side. Faber Ash won the 100-meter, breaking the freshman record held by Gatlin by running a 10.04. Zooming, Jordan West won the shot put, and Wayne Pinnick won the long jump. So shout out to them, rocking and rolling. Thirds in the outdoor SECs, tough to do. Guys killing it out there. And my number one winner of the weekend, I gave it to Luka / Jason Tatum. Just the young guys breaking through a little bit and having a legitimate shot of making a finals. So big for them. So those are my winners of the weekend. John, who'd you have winning?
Yeah, our list wasn't that different, not to spoil my own list. But number three, I was kind of struggling for number three. I didn't think there was anything pop culturally that really mattered. I mean, I guess maybe Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Which sold, quote unquote, sold 350,000 copies, number one album, all that. Like the second biggest, I guess, rap numbers in a while. Not only Drake's. I mean, I guess he's my only pop culture guy that had a chance, but I went with Vol Baseball. You won the SEC championship. Shout out to Vanderbilt for the assist. Love you, boys. Vandy took 2 of 3 of Arkansas, right? Vandy beat them, right?
I had a long weekend, man. I don't remember what. I didn't pay attention
sorry for
to,
putting you on
to
the spot.
Vanderbilt, Arkansas.
Sorry for putting you on the spot. I thought they beat them.
As soon as I saw Vandy win it for us, I didn't pay attention to the last two.
I'll try to verify that. But,
I'll check for you.
I thought that they won 2 out of 3. But
they,
I guess we'll check
it
out.
I got it right here.
Okay, let's hear it.
And they won Friday and then lost Saturday and came back and won Sunday in 7 innings. So.
Mm-hmm.
Why they only played 7 innings on Sunday?
Rain? That doesn't make sense because it was at Arkansas. I guess maybe weather. I don't know.
Anyways, Vol Baseball, number three for me. You win an SEC championship, and it looks like you're back at number one. Pretty much everyone else below you kind of lost, so here you are. Number two for me, I went with Jason Tatum. It was harder to put Jason Tatum number one, but my tiebreaker was just, his big game was on Friday, and by the time we get to Monday, sometimes we just forget about those. And, he was awesome. He makes them in the conference finals. And, my number one winner was Luka. And you could say the same thing for Luka. Luka didn't have to do as much in game seven, but dominated early.
I mean, yeah. He
wins the beef against Devin Booker. Now in the conference finals. And quite frankly, they should win this series, I think, and get to the NBA finals. Jason Kidd maybe. I'm putting Jason Kidd on that list, too, by the way. I'm going Luka and Jason Kidd because Jason Kidd was thought of as a loser.
Yeah, yeah.
And now Jason Kidd, not a loser. Jason Kidd's good. So he deserves some respect, too. He's come a long way from that photo shoot with that really big-ass collar on his head, on his shirt. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
like the paper. Yeah, like, I don't know what the hell that kind of fabric is on that shirt, but he's come a long way. Did that just something just fall from the ceiling? Like a water are we leaking in here? Anyways, Cam, who lost this weekend?
All right, my number three loser of the weekend. I gave it to the Cincinnati Reds just because losing when you don't allow a hit is
pretty tough.
Pretty bad break there. So not great. Not great there.
But somehow it's perfect.
Yeah.
Somehow it's perfect to lose that way.
Yeah. It's fitting for them this year so far. Yeah, so checked out. But, yeah, still not a good stat to have to live with. And like Troy said, luckily I guess it's not going to be in the record book, so time will forget about it eventually. Most of us probably will in about 3 weeks, if that.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, probably later today, actually. Yeah. But, yeah, that's my number three. My number two loser of the weekend, I gave to Chris Paul. Another 2-0 lead blown. You already have the record. You're just adding another one on there and making it harder for people to erase your name out of the record books.
Now, can I say one thing?
Yes.
And, Charlie, I don't know if you'll agree. Like I said, I know the audience wants me to be mad. I'm not mad about Luka making the conference finals. I feel like I've been pretty complimentary of him. But you as a neutral observant, can you answer this or not? Because
I would love to.
You know, all year long I had to hear, you know, how the run to the conference finals last year for the Hawks was fraudulent because they beat the Knicks and then, you know, a choking Sixers team. But, like, the Jazz ain't that much different than last year's Knicks as far as I'm concerned. And if there is a choking team in the NBA, it would be the one with Chris Paul on the team, right? Yeah. Like, I know we call Doc Rivers a choker, but, like, Chris Paul
is known as the choker.
He's got, what, you said six straight series he's blown?
Fifth 2-0 lead he's blown. He already had the record with four.
Okay. I believe it's his, like, seventh straight game seven loss. Like, if there is a face of choking in the playoffs, you could say it's Doc Rivers, but also you could say it's Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say, like, the run ain't that much more impressive, if you ask me. But
it's not.
I think it's more impressive. I agree with you that it's not that much more impressive. I also don't think the Hawks' run was a fraud.
Okay.
I think the Hawks' run was respectable and
okay.
impressive.
Fair enough. Just want to point out, like,
yeah, I think
the Jazz ain't much better than the Knicks.
Both runs are impressive. Neither are fraudulent. The Mavs, I still give a little bit more impressive. Yeah, I find a little bit more impressive, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But not by much.
You got your number one loser?
Yeah, my number one loser of the weekend, I gave it to America just because more mass shootings, racially charged stuff, and not a great look always.
Not a great look ever.
Yeah.
Not always, ever. If we're talking
yeah,
about
yeah. Not a great look. So, yeah, that's my loser.
Yeah, yeah.
Buffalo area, I guess. One of them.
We should all just kind of take it on the chin, not just Buffalo.
Yeah. Yeah, John, who'd you have losing this weekend?
The Toronto Maple Leafs, speaking of the Buffalo area.
Yeah.
They're sort of close. Maple Leafs lose again, Charlie. How many years in a row have you said this has been without them advancing past the first round?
They have not won a playoff series in 6,699 days.
That's what that comes out to, about 20 years?
I
mean, like 18 years, give or take? 365? I mean, take that, what do you say, 6,000 and divide it by 360? I mean, that probably comes out to like 365. It probably comes out to like 18 years, I'd say.
6,000 divided by 365
yeah, like is 19 years.
16. Okay.
They also lost.
I know it's been a long, you know, obviously since what, like the 50s since they won the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, it's been 2,000 days since then. It's also been they're the first team in major sports league history to lose a winner-take-all game in the opening round of the playoffs 5 years in a row.
Mm.
And they've also lost 10 straight potential series-clinching games. And then after the game, their coach had the nerve to say, well, we got a lot of respect in that handshake line from the team. A much different tone of respect on the other side than what we've experienced previously.
So that's good. You're a loser still, but you're a respected
loser. We're earning respect in the league.
That's good. 48 years. 1967. I said 54.
Which, again,
1967.
They were at home. Like, they've been the better team in a lot of these games, and they have one of the best players in hockey. So
maybe you don't want to be at home. Maybe that's the key.
Well, they've done it on the road, too. They do it everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. They're just
chokers.
They have the weight of a country on them.
They even blew a 3-1 lead with like 2 minutes left one time.
Jeez.
And a 3-1 lead in that series.
That's tough. That was my third biggest loser. You could probably actually put them up higher on the list, but I'll be honest, I don't care much about Toronto hockey as some people, so maybe I'm underrating it, but that's my list, damn it. Number two for me, Devin Booker. you lose that series, but you also lose the respect. You lost the beef with Luka. No one's going to respect you anymore. You're a front runner until further notice. But he did have a meat shield for him, so that's good. He had the number one loser on his team, which is Chris Paul, because damn if there's something we like doing. It's making fun of Chris Paul in the playoffs.
Yep.
And now we get to make fun of Chris Paul in the playoffs for losing again. Cam gave you the numbers already. Another 2-0 lead blown, another game 7 loss. He limps off the floor. A quad injury all of a sudden. And then we have to listen to Pat Bev. We got to listen to Pat Bev dance on his grave.
Yeah.
If I'm Chris Paul, losing sucks. But having to listen to someone like Pat Bev, that would really upset me. That'd be a real tough pill to swallow. That guy's talking trash. Really? Winners and losers of the weekend. Charlie, anybody we missed, you think?
Winners. Just we got 7 game 7s this weekend. That's
so us,
cool. Us
sports fans. Yeah, I don't think either one of us, as in me or you, really paid attention to most of them.
Yeah. I watched some of the hockey ones like at bars.
Yeah, TV happened to be like on, I guess, TBS yesterday, and like
I actually the Rangers, bar, I Penguins ended up was with on. A group of like major hockey fans Saturday night for like a weird hour span, and not with my friends instead. And we were actually having a really good time getting into the Game 7 Kings Oilers for some reason.
Just hockeying it up.
Yeah, they were all Blues fans.
Winners and losers of the weekend and the Fan Run radio live stream is powered by Linderman Sports Medicine in Memphis. Visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com to find out why people are coming from all over Tennessee and beyond to get back in the game of life with Linderman Sports Medicine. So if you want to get back on your bike or back to the gym, or just walk in the park and have a healthier lifestyle, visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com and get back in the game of life without surgery. LindermanSportsMedicine.com. Last call on the other side is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Last call here on the program. Cam, you got a story for us?
Yes. Tom Cruise in China.
Is he banned, or yeah. They like him, or what?
How does
China feel about Scientologists? I don't know.
But the producer from Tom Cruise's Top Gun movie that's coming out has claimed that the Navy told them that China bought one of the props for one of their planes in the movie. It's supposed to be like this new, like, next generation fighter plane or something like that. The prop looks so real that China moved one of its spy satellites to a different route so they could get better pictures of it.
Really?
Yeah, that's what the producer is claiming. The Navy passed along with them. What is this ad on my phone? Oh, there we go. This is a weird website. But yeah, they're like, it could be a PR stunt, but that is what the producer has told a couple news places and is claiming.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it sounds like a PR stunt, but...
But yeah, it's like a fictional hypersonic jet that's going to be in the new movie or whatever, but yeah, they had the prop plane designed, obviously, so they could film the movie, and...
When does that movie come out?
Soon, right? I think this weekend or next weekend. I can't remember exactly. It was the end of this month at some point.
May 24th, so Memorial Day weekend. Or no, that is... That's next Monday, right? Wait, what?
Should be a Monday.
The next Tuesday?
Memorial Day?
Okay, they do sometimes come out on Tuesdays during the summer.
Or is that just like a special one maybe? Because it's Memorial Day weekend, but I guess maybe it'll...
Yeah, sometimes during the summer they drop movies on Tuesdays.
Okay.
I don't know why they do that.
I mean, you just get a longer opening week, I guess, to try
to... Yeah, to try to pump up the box office numbers a little bit, yeah. They do that, but yeah, they did collab with like Lockheed Martin and stuff, so they were supposed to be going for realistic, obviously, but...
It's been getting some really good reviews early.
That's what I heard, too. I mean, I bet the plane sequences are probably pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's probably when you need to see an IMAX.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, claiming that China was like, we need to check this thing out. Moving their satellites for it.
On my Regal app, it is not available on the 24th, so maybe that's like a limited release some places. Yeah. It's kind of like how I went to see Batman like 2 days early.
Mm-hmm.
So like maybe there's just a couple showings across, like one showing per city, and like maybe I didn't buy tickets for this. I don't know. But yeah, it says the 26th here, so I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that'll be gonna be worth a watch.
It should be a pretty good movie, yeah. Charlie, you said you had a story?
Sure.
Didn't you just have one about the Tennessee drivers?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Roads in Tennessee, unsafe.
Gonna be in danger.
Okay. I need to know why. I use roads sometimes.
Charlie, why?
Because Tennessee teenagers can now take their driver's test at home.
What?
Yeah, the at-home knowledge testing.
In their car?
Is being offered to teenagers ages 15 through 17, the written portion of the driving test. So you can still have to like drive, but like you can just cheat very easily now on any of the written stuff.
I mean, we didn't even have a written part of the driving test, no?
You didn't?
No,
I had to take a written part.
That was for your permit, no?
But you had to get that too.
We had to get the permit the year before, or at least 6 months before. But the actual, for me, I mean, again, I guess this could change since 2006, 2007, but like...
I feel like I definitely took a test and also had to drive for someone.
I took a test again for my permits, but again, maybe I'm getting old, maybe I've forgotten, but like, I'm 95% certain that for my actual driving test, I just had to go in there and drive and take a little loop. It was a very, very easy loop. Like, you just went to like a neighborhood.
That's what I hear about this state. It checks out to some of the drivers around here, but it's wild.
I
took mine in McMinnville. I had to do so much.
They made me get on the highway and like actually do some stuff.
Well, I had to go on the highway just because the highway was right there, like next to the DMV. But like, we got on the highway, you took a right, you went into a neighborhood, you took a right, and then you went around the loop, and like they basically just checked see if you knew how to like cross the highway, like because you had to cross back to go left, like to get back to the DMV. But that's pretty much it.
I took the driver's test. I had never been on the highway before, and
see, I was driving from a very early age. Like I was very familiar with driving at that point.
And also, I had it taken in my mom's like BMW, so I'd never driven her car before either. So the lady told my mom, yeah, he has a really heavy foot, but I decided to pass him. I was like, no, you just put me on a highway for the first time ever in a car that goes faster than I'm used to.
I had to do a lot of stuff because you have to wait till, I can't remember what age. I want to say I don't think it was 21, but you had to wait till at least 18 or something to get your driver's license in Georgia unless you took driver's ed.
What?
So I had to take, Georgia's got a lot stricter driving laws because there was a lot of like early teens dying in car crashes and they passed a bunch of laws. So I had to do a bunch of hours in driver's ed, take a driver's ed test, do a certain number of hours doing that, and then you had to take the driver's test, you had to be able to back down the street looking over your shoulder, had to be able to parallel park, pull into a spot, back into a spot,
not us.
And then did a drive for like 10 minutes.
Not us. Very simple.
That's what I hear, and that's checks out. Not you guys, though. You guys are great.
I feel like I'm a pretty solid driver.
I think I kind of got duped by sucked in by this headline a little bit. WATE got me.
That's what
it just says. Tennessee teenagers can now take driver's tests at home. So that's what I assumed, but then it is just like the written part.
Well, that would actually come in very much handy because I failed the first time I took that because I didn't really study enough and then I had to wait a month before I could take it again. The drive's up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.